Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am your host, Nina Perez, and we are here to discuss life topics to challenge and transform your thinking. Let's do this. Today, I am excited to have this really amazing person here. Her name is Laura Staley, and she is the founder of Cherish Your World. And Laura passionately supports people thriving by guiding them to a holistic transformation of space, heart, and life. You're going to fall in love with her because I think I'm already falling in love. And Laura knows that there's a relationship between the conditions of our homes and workplace and the quality of our lives. And she wants to help us live in the deepest values and aspirations and finally to shed some limiting beliefs. So Laura, thank you so much for being here on Straight Talk. I really appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me as a guest on your show. It's truly an honor and a joy to be here with you.
Oh, thank
you. I'm doing really well. I'm flourishing.
I want some of that.
a quieter mind has helped immensely, but
yeah,
a long time to get here.
Well, that's good. And I want to talk about that, right? Because I think that this last year, as you know, has been like this big thing for people. Right? So some people actually really thrived last year. This was a year of them, you know, finding themselves and finding what they loved and what they did. And then we have the opposite of that. I've spoken to people who really struggled, and the separation from other humans really got to them, and their, you know, mental health started being questioned. So I definitely thought that our meeting here today is very timely. And so I wanted to first start off with just letting my audience know a little bit more about you. I gave a little synopsis, but a little bit more about you. And then we're going to get into talking about what it is you do and how you help people, you know, kind of break those limiting beliefs and how they can, you know, align their lives so they have some more peace. If that's all right with you, that's where we're going.
That's beautiful. It works for me.
Beautiful. Great. Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town, very many challenges, I grew up terrified, traumatized, you know, people will ask me, you know, what had you come to Cherish Your World? And it's interesting because my parents' home that I grew up in was, you know, kind of a classic of the pretense of, you know, the beautiful public spaces, but the hidden in the closet, down in the basement, dank, dark basement, scary places, right? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, wow, this is just amazing. And you know, all the strategies I used to cope and survive, but that wasn't the only container in which I faced challenges, school and the church environment. So nature and introspection became my safe havens, and books, which I've recently learned is a healthy way to dissociate. If you're familiar with that, it's when a person is dealing with trauma and they just kind of are in that freeze state and kind of disconnected. But when you connect with reading, you're engaging your mind in an imaginative way, which is, wow, that's really great to hear, because it was a lifeline for me. And then, you know, kind of fast forward, I earned a master's and a PhD in political science. Education was huge. It was an important value of my family and for me also. But I very quickly realized in the space of choosing consciously to be a full-time parent that I had been handed all these scripts, right? Mm-hmm. And messages of who I was and what I should do with my life and those changing expectations, right? And I discovered after a flood of a finished basement when my kids were really little, the beauty and transformative wisdom of feng shui. And I also went about the business of breaking my own cycle and healing deep inside, especially when I became a mom. I had begun that deep dive work before becoming a parent, because it's like, wow, if I want to be a loving parent, I don't want to repeat those ancestral patterns, mm-hmm. right, that were so hurtful and harmful and wounding and traumatizing and terrifying, mm-hmm. right? And I really wanted to steep my kids in love and acceptance and honor them. And I was perfectly imperfect, of course. But I'm proud to say that I have loving relationships with my grown children today. So back to the flood.
Yeah, right? I'm like, how does this flood tie in here?
Wow, me, I know. So my kids are little. We have a flood of a finished basement. You know, 5 inches, you know, 5 inches of water. It's, you know, it turns out that it was a pipe that had been improperly installed, but then there's rain and snow melt, and it was literally on Valentine's night. Like, wow. And out of that, in the aftermath, I was with a family member at the time, about a month later, and she's like, oh my gosh, you got to read about you got to read this book, you know, feng shui. And I was like, feng shui, you know, I'd never heard the expression, right? But she hands me this book and she's like, you're gonna love it. And I open it to this part where it says, live with belongings you love. Mm. And Nina, I'm like, it's stuff. What? Wait, what? Mm-hmm. And yet I'm intrigued at the same time. I end up devouring the entire book. Well, not literally, but I read it cover to cover. She's like, just take it with you. I'll get another copy. You know, and I walk back in my house and I look around on the first floor now. And I'm seeing belongings that I loathe. And they're all hand-me-downs. And then I looked at my life. And it's not that I loathe my life. I still love being a mother, right? I actually was one of those people who loved mothering. It was hard. It's challenging. It's like, it's every, you know, it's like a lot of things, especially if you take it on consciously, right? And yet it was like, wow, back to that whole thing of, I mean, I've been hand-me-downed, right? All these scripts of who I was supposed to be, negative, positive, a lot of negative. And I just was like, who am I? I don't even live here.
Wow.
Like, who is in this house?
Reading one book.
It was such a metaphor, and it was such a profound aha. And in that moment, I realized that I could begin, I'd already lost a whole bunch of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And I thought I can start letting go. I began purging these things that I loathed. And it wasn't like I ran out and got a bunch of stuff. I really went deep inside in that introspection. Right. And did that discovery of what it is that actually supports the quality of my life and nurtures this part of me. And I got happier and happier with each load that went off to donations and friends, you know, and, oh my gosh, and my friends were like,
Were the kids happy though? Or were you throwing out their things too?
It was so much fun. Well, I started a process of donate, keep, and it was interesting because their dad at the time, who I was married to at that time, because then, you know, the feng shui clearing also, you know, included, he got cleared out. It just, you know, got to that place.
You really cleaned up. Got it.
Not a good fit relationship any longer. And I was growing and evolving myself rapidly, mm-hmm. right? I was just, I just got on the hugely on that transformation ride. The kids were adorable. My son, I would always give them sacred space to clear. You know, we would do this donate ritual, donate keep. Even my daughter, you know, I'm supporting her in her space. Anyway, I remember my son, you know, toddling down the hallway at 4 years old going, you can, you know, it was an item that I was pretty sure he didn't play with anymore, but I let him choose. Mm-hmm. I really honored his process. And about a week later, about, you know, hovering over him without saying a word, you know, he found some items to let go of. But he toddled down the hallway and said, you can put this in the, you know, donate box, mommy. And, you know, like, kids get it when you model it, but do you first. You know, I often get questions from couples and they're like, I need you to come over to deal with, you know, my wife or my husband or my partner or my lover, or, you know, what, my significant other. And I just say, start with what's in your heart. Start with that, here we go, with those limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Because one of the biggest ones in space, when there's an accumulation of things that we don't need, usually the limiting belief, Nina, is I am not enough.
People
are out there accumulating to overcompensate for this limiting belief, which is not true, right?
Right. Right.
I am not enough. And of course, we live in a culture that kind of, you know, just keeps sending.
You a lot.
You're not pretty enough. You're not thin enough. You don't have, you know, enough. You're right. And it's like, at what point are we just whole? You know, or thinking that we're actually whole human beings. So that's
really good.
A rich, you know, kind of backstory there, but. I will do this for a lifetime. It is a passion of mine.
It's amazing.
And I know the transformational experience people have when they take it on in a very conscious way of not just, you know, going through, but really holding on to things and saying, man, this could be bittersweet. Maybe somebody just passed away. I mean, there's been a lot of loss, right? And you've inherited belongings from loved ones, and it's bittersweet. It's not just joy, no joy. It's like, I love, I feel sad, I feel a little resentful. You know, like, it's this whole mixture of emotions that are imbued in the story of that object. And to be aware enough to uncollapse all of that and look and see, is this actually serving and supporting my life in a deep and meaningful way? And have I honored the belonging just like I would honor a loved one,
right,
in life or in death? Right.
So do you think that it is, it can be healthy to have an object that you honor? Is that what you mean when you say that? Like, if somebody has an object that was given to them from a lost parent or a grandparent, and they honor that one object or whatever, that can be a healthy thing, as opposed to just collecting things to collect things. Is that what you mean?
Yes, it is. And it's very personal. It's a very personal, there's no cookie cutter.
Right.
And that's why I'm not a should. I mean, I had enough for that on me to last me a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I see myself as a guide and, you know, offering lots of different ideas and perspectives on the physical clutter, as well as what's happening in their lives. Like, what's actually happening in your life?
Right.
And is your physical space showing up as a metaphor, but you just haven't seen it that way. You've just kind of been like, you know, unconscious to what your space is saying about your limiting beliefs, about what you might be holding on to. Like, for another example is, there was a person who, you know, as I was sharing this, she was like, oh my gosh, that was my recognition when I finally let go of the wedding dress from the failed marriage. It was holding the energy that I was a failure, right?
Wow.
And it was like this grieving process. And once she separated herself and released that wedding dress from her space, it was just kind of like this lift off.
Oh, wow.
Of like, I'm actually a loving human being. And I learned so much from that experience. You know, we get wisdom from pain. Mm-hmm. We do. I mean, it's just,
we do.
We really do.
Yeah.
So yes. So to go back to your original question, yes, each person gets to decide whether that object gets to stay and nourish them, or take a picture mm-hmm. of it, and then, you know, depart with gratitude and, you know, send it on to somebody who will love it, somebody who will interact with it. And the thing is, Nina, people have lost things. I mean, we had the fires, we've had floods, we've had hurricanes, they've lost everything. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who live with an abundance, right?
Mm-hmm. Which in this country, a lot of us live with way more than we need, for exactly. sure.
Exactly. Yeah. To be able to generously share our abundance with others is really, that can be so healing. I know another beautiful story. Sorry.
You're good. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this too, because my son literally was just down here and he was like, "Mom, you're on your meeting yet?" I was like, "No." He's like, "I'm sending back all of my items that my partner gave me." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "I have to do it. I think I have to do it to release myself of it. Cause every time I see it, I think about cause they were engaged, but you know, it didn't work out." And he's like, "And so now I just feel like every time I look at it, it just reminds me." And I said, "If that's what you need to do to move forward and be free, then that's what you need to do. So pop them in the box right now and keep it moving, you know?" But that's funny that you're mentioning that, because you kind of just confirmed that, okay, what I said was okay, and how he's feeling is okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's amazing what people will hold on to.
Yeah.
Out of guilt, obligation. Wow. And my encouragement is to say, you know, whose home is this? And it's not doing the world any good for you to be burdened by obligation or guilt. I actually have a story in my own life of driving every object that my parents had ever gifted me, because the dynamic, and I know that's kind of like maybe over on an extreme, with a huge gratitude letter. Like, thank you so much. Because what I identified, and this was prior to the flood, so it was like my pre-flood story and experience, but it was New Year's Day. And I realized none of those objects and belongings had been given to me unconditionally, with unconditional love. Mm. They came with huge rage, expectations. I mean, I literally... my mother has since passed, but she had her struggles, right? But she would literally walk into my adult home and rage at me if I didn't have certain belongings out and where she thought they should go, and it would change, you know, and I would skirt, you know, like, and it was terrifying. I'm being
a lot of stress.
It was very stressful, and, you know, what fires together, wires together. And so I finally got that, oh my gosh, I'm not ever going to use these belongings in the proper way, because it changes every time she comes over. Yeah. So I realized, wow, they were never given unconditionally.
Right.
She might even think they're pieces of her. I mean, she had her struggles, right? So I wrote this beautiful letter of gratitude and said, you know, I'm returning every one of these items to you. And, you know, just thank you so much. Cause I know they were given, I believe they were initially given in love, but, it wasn't freely, you know, it wasn't without strength.
So did you give them back to her, or did you just bring them to a certain, you give them back to her? Okay.
Oh no. I loaded up my minivan and I drove them up and I started unloading them into my parents' home.
How did that go?
That was wild. Well, it's so wild because they were just kind of like shocked. And at first my mom was like, "Oh, you've left that marriage." You know, well, that wasn't to happen till later. And I think she thought I was gonna move in with her. And then, you know, and my dad was kind of confused, but then, you know, being the man he was, you know, he he just started helping me, you know, and I hugged them both. I handed them the gratitude letter. I thanked them and I drove away. Wow. And I felt so free.
That must have been right. Cause that was also bold, right? It showed you also that you have a strength within you that you probably didn't even know you had, because if she was coming to your home and doing that and you were getting nervous and stressed doing that, then you had some level of respect and even some, maybe even a little fear as to how she would react. So that was very bold of you. It sounds to me like that book came to you at the moment you needed it in your life, right?
It feels
like it completely flipped your life around, right? Because I mean, they gave you the book when the flood happened. Now, two things could have happened. You could have, you know, really gone into a deep depression over the flood and over all of the things that you've lost, because that can happen naturally to any one of us.
Absolutely.
But yet the book came in like literally at the time that you needed it to then go, hey, purge it all, including the husband, purge everything.
And that came a few years later, but yeah.
But how amazing is that? Like, I always feel like in life, we're set up in a way sometimes where just things come when they need to come, when they need to be there. And this book has really changed your life, because you have gone on to actually teach this as well. And you've written books as well, right?
Yeah.
That just blows my mind on how you really, this really spoke to you in a very deep way. Do your children still to this day practice Feng Shui or?
Yeah, well, yes, they definitely do the donate, keep. My son has a girlfriend and he's let me know that she's all over it. He's like, you know, mom, it's great. She's always moving my stuff. And I know you're going to love her.
That's great.
Like, he's really okay with it, because he knows that, here's the other thing. He knows that experiences matter and connecting with human beings really matters, you know, high quality and being of service to others and in contribution.
Oh, that's great. That's
and if
great.
You're not focused on shopping and accumulating and then dusting and caring for, or shoving all that stuff in a closet or a stuffed drawer that you'd never open, or the junk room, right, that you never use, or, you know, your energy gets freed up for so many other things. And usually experiences, and that makes me think of, I have so many stories, but there was another.
I love it.
Participant at a workshop, and it was focused on decluttering, and she came up to me and she said, you know what, it took me a year to go clear my deceased father's home, and that is a year of my life that I won't get back, all that time. Mm-hmm, and so this past Christmas, this was just her choice, this is not like I'm, you know, now the rule or something, but it was her realization in her own heart that Christmas she gave tickets to the symphony, to the ice skating event, to you know, what she started to identify what family members really loved to experience. There were no gifts under the tree that year, because she got it, like, from the standpoint of, all of these people in my life have plenty of belongings, but what I can give them is the gift of experiences.
Oh, wow. Because that's powerful.
Because I don't want anybody, when I pass, you know, she didn't want her kids, you know, it was like her wake up call to break that cycle and not have her kids burdened by a year of their lives dedicated to sorting through her belongings.
Yeah. You know, I never associated having so many belongings with self-worth. That's really powerful, right? Because I know when I go through moments in my life where I'm feeling like insecure, or I don't feel like I'm moving forward fast enough, or I do that as well. I'll shop more than I normally do. I'll have more things around me than I normally do. And then I realize that when I get, okay, Nina, let's get this together. What are we doing? And I start clearing up, because I'm like, okay, you take that, you give this, you take that. And when I do that, I feel much better. I feel better mentally. I feel better around me. I feel stronger. And I just never kind of associated the two. I just figured, oh, depression, shopping, you know, but not realizing that that was, you know, that says a lot. And I have family members that still struggle very, very much. Now I know it's a lot attached to like that self-worth thing where they, their houses are almost like pack rats, right? They're completely, you know, cluttered and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And sometimes, so how do you help someone, Laura, go from let's say somebody who, I mean, you must love those hoarding move shows. I don't know if you watch them or if they drive you nuts, so you don't watch them.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, right. Because that must be really hard. Because you're looking, going, ah. Yeah. I just wonder how you take someone through that, right? So how do you take someone through that mentality of that limiting belief that they have, and you know, not feeling worthy, and maybe even somebody who's hoarding a little bit, to actually realizing that they are worth it, right? That the limiting belief is a lie, and that we need to replace that with a truth. Do you have a process or something that you do with people to get them through that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I love asking people, what's different a year from now? What would your life look like free of clutter? And what are you passionate about? What do you actually love? You know, separate from the belongings, what are the experiences that you really love? It's kind of like Mary Oliver's poem, you know, let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. And when people, I think, are given permission to, you know, kind of connect with their heart space and listen to and often I'm just simply giving people permission, because I'll ask these meaningful questions of people and it'll be like, you know, and then they'll give this answer and they've come alive. Right. And I'm like, right there, that feeling, who I'm looking at right now, that go there, go there. Right. And of course, I think there's grieve and disconnecting from what other people likely have said about who you are that just wasn't true. I mean, that's what happened to me, right? I was out there trying to earn my right to exist. I mean, that's how low my, because I was literally told, you know, you're a worthless piece of, you know, poo, but the other word, you know, the vulgar word. And, you know, as a little kid, I was like, you know, like I didn't have the capacity to question the truth of that. And so, I just didn't have the capacity, but as adults, we actually have the capacity to ask ourselves, is that actually true? And to start to look at, and is it absolutely true? And how do you feel when you have that thought? So those are the kinds of questions that can get asked to begin to dismantle that limiting belief, and to ground the person in their worthiness. So, you know, that vision of their life a year from now, like how will you feel? And I just led a Decluttering for Freedom class and the ladies were so ready. Because I asked that question, you know, what's different a year from now?
It's so
without
good.
Without all of these belongings stuffing your, you know, in your space that you don't interact with, because so much of this is having an empowering relationship with our belongings and an empowering relationship with ourselves, our heart, and, you know, the thoughts in our mind. I also, you know, invite people to quiet, you know, stillness. That's where good. Just like a highly stimulated, oh my gosh, right? The pings and the blings and the, like, you know, holding the phone and, you know, we've stopped looking in each other's eyes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
right now I'm looking at a dot, you know?
Right, right, right.
Oh, wow, I was just talking to a piece of metal. This is really odd. Right. I mean, I know I'm talking to you, but it's kind of, you know, like it's, you're not five across from me. So, you know, learning to connect with ourselves. There's some people that will love mirror work. I mean, there's just so many different tools that over the years of all the kinds of things I've read and workshops that I've participated in, you know, because I've been, you know, like I'm a teacher, I'm a student all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm a lifelong learner, Nita.
Mm-hmm. And so I love that.
When I get an idea, you know, wherever I glean it, you know, I just want to share it with other people, or I hear a really good question that's asked of me, I'll ask it of a participant or a client. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, tell me about this physical object, you know, tell me, you know, because so much of clutter is fear based. And when we know that there's something more important than our fear, we'll go for it.
Oh, it's so good.
Bold and courageous, because there's something more important. And honestly, on my journey, my kids.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. My kids became.
You would do anything for that.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized in the process of recognizing that I would do anything for my kids, just about, that I could be that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning some of those tools along the way. You know, I got my pit crew.
Yeah.
I personally needed a pit crew. Not everybody does, but I recognize that I had lived through, you know, just really heinous difficulties and really wanted my life to work. I didn't want a life lived in fear anymore, Nina.
Yeah.
I didn't want a life that suffocated me and straitjacketed me about what was possible for my life and for my heart and for my soul and the ways that I could contribute to the quality of people's lives. And it's a gas when people around you start flourishing.
Isn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's
so fun.
So much fun.
It is.
You know, and they start to tell you the stories and the junk room is cleared. And, you know, and it's the story of the woman who, you know, whose husband died and she cleared the office and created it as an art studio and then sold her first painting. I mean,
that's awesome.
Awesome.
That's right? A good feeling.
Like, yeah. Yes. So, you know, having that vision, having that, you know, the permission slip. I mean, it amazes me how often I literally feel like I'm just writing permission slips.
Yeah.
When I'm
That's
hearing
so
people,
awesome.
You know,
yes.
People light up about what they really, really are passionate about. And I don't care what it is. It could be gaming or bowling or ice skating. I mean, or all three.
Right.
I don't know, you know,
right.
And it's like, go for it. Or
yes.
you want to be a baker instead of a spreadsheet maker. Well then, you know, go open your bakery. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really that easy though. I mean, it really is. I think, you know, because of our limiting beliefs and because of our self-doubt, we make things harder than they actually really are. And, you know, I was coaching a young lady as well. I said, I know what you need. She's like, what? I said, you need permission. I'm giving you permission. That's exactly what I said to her. It was just yesterday. I had their coaching session and she's like, thank you. Like it, like she said, you just freed me from so much burden. And I'm like, all I said to her is you have permission. You know, it's like, and I think it's because we're afraid to say that to ourselves, because does that mean that I just made myself lazy or I'm not going to do it or I'm not going to produce? Yeah. You know? And I think it's, you know, also our upbringing, right? A lot of us my parents were, you know, kind of hard and stuff like that. So you always have to kind of ask permission, right? So, you know, and so as you grow up, you realize you're asking permission now from your teachers, you're asking permission from your spouse, you're asking permission from your boss, you know? Sometimes when you're coaching people, you're literally just saying to them, I got your back and I'm giving you permission. And I promise you that you're not going to get in trouble, you know?
Right. right?
And she was, because she was handling, like literally juggling like 50 things, and she was getting so overwhelmed she couldn't think anymore. I said, okay, you see this and this part, we're going to give you permission to put that to the side for 6 weeks. And she's like, oh, okay, like, you know.
Yeah,
and it's all that is about clarity is what you're talking about, Laura. It's literally about clarity. And I love that we're having this conversation, and I've already started thinking about what closets I'm going to clean out after this, because right? I'm like, wait, why do I have so much stuff in there? I don't even use half of that stuff. Why do I have it? Right. So
right.
I did want to mention that you are an author also. So I would love you, if you can, to touch a little bit on your books, if you're okay with that. Can we do that quick?
I would be honored to. Sure.
Okay, great.
I wrote Let Go Courageously and Live with Love, Transform Your Life with Feng Shui. That was the first book that came out. And that was in the wake of the marriage ending and just my whole life kind of turning upside down. That is stories with gentle suggestions, and people have really enjoyed that book.
Okay.
The next one is the Cherish Your World book of 100 tips to enhance your home and your life. And it's rich with ideas. It's just, okay. And what the feedback I've gotten from people is that what they really love is just kind of opening it and getting that one hit, and then maybe implementing that idea for that day or that week. You know, there's no, requirement, but they really enjoy the inspiration it brings. And there's ideas for emotional and kind of like emotional and the limiting belief, as well as your physical space. So that 100 tips. And then the third book is Live Inspired. And that is, again, personal essay with reflections and the wisdom I've gleaned along the way, with wishes for the reader. And it also includes some poetry. And I'm really excited that got the endorsement of two individuals that I respect greatly, including Dr. Bernie Siegel, who is a best-selling author and MD, and he had really kind things to say about that book. And that just came out last year during the pandemic, April 27th of 2020.
Oh, I'm sure it came out at
self-discovery. It's focused on self-discovery.
That's great. Yeah. That really is.
Yep.
And that's the Live Inspired, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's definitely stories about letting go in that book. In fact, I think it's in that book that I tell the story of driving my belongings to my parents. And so it's more detailed. And then the wisdom gleaned from that experience. So I believe that story is in Live Inspired. Well, I know.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah,
that really is. That really is great. I mean, I think this just is so timely. It's just so timely. I guess one of the things that I heard you say before, and I wanted to touch on it really quick, was you said when I was having my group session, the women were ready, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's really important to be ready to be coached in this way? Or, you know, like, I'm just wondering, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm wondering, like, I'm thinking about a few people in my head, is that's why I guess I'm getting stuck a little bit. But I'm wondering, like, if you just tell somebody, hey, listen, I know someone and she does feng shui and she knows how to kind of like get you unstuck and stuff like that. But some people take advice and some people like are still stuck. Do you feel like people need to want a coach or want to be ready to, in order to move forward?
I think there is an element of that for it to be a good fit situation, rather than
right the hesitation, right?
Right, or fear, or but often I find that, you know, like, it's interesting. I worked with a client who admitted to me that it took her 5 years to actually finally implement the ideas that I had given her.
I believe that.
And here's what I backed away. I didn't ever come back and check in. I wasn't going to be, you know, the.
Yeah, of course.
Not at all. You know, I just offered this whole list of ideas and she was very inspired in the moment, but it took her 5 years. And here's the thing, when the student is, you know, when the student is ready, you know, she came across all the notes she had taken. It had to percolate for those 5 years. Mm-hmm. And she had these life experiences. Here we go, right?
Right.
That just opened her to wow, including this connection that she made because she was driving to her mother's space and working to help her mother hear, and was like, whoa, my mom's space is But then, right, she drove back in her own house. So she might have had some, you know, didn't put voice to it and was supportive and loving towards her mother, but it was kind of like, whoa, and inside kind of maybe judging it a little bit, right? And then driving back in her own space and going,
Right.
Wow, I got the same, you know, like I've got the same in this recognition that, wow, I don't want to put that, like that other person who was like, wow, I don't want to put my kids through this, you know, as as I'm getting older and, you know, who knows when I'm going to go, do I want to leave this? And then she had deeper realizations about why she was holding on to things. And it was so great.
Yeah.
It's really, really, it's a personal process and it can be. So I do believe people percolate.
Yeah.
And I had a participant who percolated. She was so honest from the get-go. She goes, I love to learn. And my life is so full right now that I don't believe I have time to take on the decluttering in my space. And I said, great. Glean all the wisdom, take whatever resonates and percolate away, you know, like
a
good cup of coffee, right? And sure enough, by then the third session just organically and likely inspired, I mean, I haven't asked her, but likely inspired by the joy of the other women and everything that was going on and shifting in their space and in the quality of their lives, that she after at the third session, she was like, you know what? I just kind of naturally, you know, walked into the space and noticed it was a mess, and I just started clearing it up, and it didn't take me as long as I thought it would.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? It's the fear. It's fear of the commitment, fear of the change, all of that. I mean, and we foolishly make things bigger than they are, honestly. I mean, we really do. Because we always find time to do what we really want to do, you know?
So true. And my favorite story along those lines is the wife whose husband, you know, just like refused to clear the garage, right? But this hailstorm was coming. Like they're literally, you know, the meteorologist, like this is bad. And his daughter's brand new car was parked out in the driveway. And he was like, that needs to come into the garage.
Right.
Do you know how fast he cleared that garage?
Exactly.
His daughter's car in the garage. I mean, I love, because part of what he would say is, oh, that's going to take, you know, that's going to take too long. I don't have time. I don't have, not enough time. And wow.
You know, and yet
something was more valuable and more important. Here we go.
Than the excuse, right?
Than the excuse.
Yeah.
Than the fear or the resistance.
Yep.
And boom, broke through.
That's exciting.
Everybody.
It's exciting when you can look forward to. I love the work that you do. This is really powerful, Laura. That what you're doing is helping people's lives on a much deeper level, right? It's not just about uncluttering. You start to discover who you are too in that process. You know, I remember when me and my husband, you know, when we lost everything, we became homeless in 2009 and we lost everything. And I remember when my friends came to pack up the boxes of whatever we lost our house. So we were going to put everything in storage or people's basements or whatever. And I just remember my friend going, do you want to pack this? Nope. Take it. Nope. Take that. Nope. Keep it. Nope. Throw it. And she's like, don't do that. You're going to want stuff when you move into your new apartment. I said, that's not happening anytime soon. I don't need a platter right now. I'm good. You know, because I was exhausted. I was done. I was tired. I was hurt. But I realized also after that, like once you heal and you bounce back and you do everything, I don't even need this crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even need this. What am I doing with all this stuff? You know? And It's a matter of time. You can start to like start over again. So you really got to be careful with that also, right? To letting go and then realizing that you're cluttering yourself all over again. You know, like I'm a big book person. I love books. So I always have to be careful because I want to buy books everywhere I go. And it's like, I don't even read half the books, Laura. What am I doing? But I love books.
I know. Put them under your pillow and you'll absorb the content.
Well, exactly.
Well, I shared that, you know, the thing about books is, you know, sometimes we've already integrated the content for the ones that we've read. And right. So if we've integrated the content, then set them free.
Right.
You know, right. And then the ones that you haven't read, you know, again, the permission slip, it's okay. You know, like you don't have to be ashamed. Because, right. You know, like right. Different flavors of clutter, you know, come with different energies. And I've actually created the different types of clutter and kind of their emotional associations. That's a whole other fun topic.
Yeah.
And it was part of the class that I taught. But man, those hit people too. But yeah, I mean, and to, you know, and to kind of laugh, you know, like be lighthearted with ourselves. I mean, here I was, you know, my kids were in middle school and I talk about the wandering nomads. That'll be an example of a form of clutter. Now, this is one that it's something that you actually use, but it's in the wrong place. So the ridiculous example is a lawnmower in the kitchen, right?
Right, right.
But you know what? I see exercise equipment in bedrooms. Mm. So it's like walking in and is it time to sleep or is it time to work out?
Right.
Right. In the confusion that the brain.
Oh man, that's
brain,
good.
Brain
that's
goes
good.
To confusion, right? And can you relocate the exercise equipment so the bedroom is about serenity and sensuality? Because
right.
That's the intention of a bedroom.
Right. Right. Right.
And so any rate, the story on myself is here, my kids are in middle school and I happen to open up a kitchen cabinet that I usually, you know, like the one above the fridge, I think it was. Anyway, there was a box of Huggies wipes, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and here I was, you know, the practitioner and I'm like, oh my God, but I tell on myself because I'm on a journey too.
Right.
Right. And I'm learning and growing and evolving and changing,
right.
You know, every single day, I'm not the woman I was yesterday. You're not the woman.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Thank goodness. That's called
right?
growth.
I know.
Yes.
Right? You're not the person who just came off of, you know, losing your house, right? I mean, you've grown and changed and evolved, you know, beyond that in beautiful and meaningful ways and have that story as part of what shaped you.
Right.
And the compassion you can have for somebody who's lost their house.
Exactly.
Right? And no more judgment. You're not walking around going,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, whoa,
exactly.
That happened to me.
It humbles you. It humbles you. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I want to, before I let you go, I would love for you to let my audience know, like, how do we follow you? How do we find, you know, these courses you're talking about, read your books, all of that. So give us how we can, you know, stalk you a little bit, Laura.
Reach out. So I'm on Facebook, you know, Laura Stareley, Cherish Your World. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, although I'm still trying to figure out Instagram, I'll be honest, but I do post there. I do have some videos there actually about the different types of clutter. You can also reach out to me, at my website, cherishyourworld.com.
Oh, that's so great.
Happy to add you to my newsletter and you can get those tips and my current reflections. So.
And I'm so glad you came.
Yeah.
Oh. This is a great conversation. I'm really, really glad. I already have like all these things going on in my head and ideas, and I'm going to run upstairs and let my son know that what I said was right because mom's always right.
Yes.
And I want to thank all of you so much for listening and watching. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Make sure you leave a review and a comment. Let me know what you think. Don't forget to email me if you need me. hello@straighttalknosugaraddit.com. This is Nina Perez. Until next time. Make sure that you visit our website at Straight Talk No Sugar Added, where you can subscribe to our show on iTunes and Stitcher or anywhere you listen to your podcast or on YouTube, so you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about our show, that would be awesome too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our book as well. It's Hit Me With Your Best Shot, How I Overcame a Hard-Hitting Life. I am Nina Perez, and I am here for you. If you are looking for private coaching, make sure that you email me at hello@straighttalknosugaraddit.com. Until next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.